Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. Well, this is John Matarazzo for Charisma News Podcast, and I am excited to be able to talk with Ryan O'Quinn, who is an actor, producer. He owns the production company Damascus Road Productions, and their new film, Paul's Promise. I just saw the trailer for it. It looks incredible, and it's based around a true story. So in this conversation, Ryan and I are going to be talking about where this story came from and then how they got it to the big screen. And I love hearing the story behind the story. So, Ryan, welcome to the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you so much, John. Glad to be here.
So, Ryan, tell us a little bit about your on-screen experience and some of the things that you've been working with. Because before we hit record here, you told me that you've been in L.A. working for like 27 years or something like that, and now you've started your own company. So you have seen some success and God's moved in your life. And I want to hear your story before we talk about Paul's story.
Yeah, well, thank you. You're right. Now that you say it out loud, 27 years, that's makes me feel even older than I am. Lived here longer than I have anywhere else, for sure. But grew up in a tiny little coal mining town in Virginia. You will get that, John, coming from the Pittsburgh area. Mm-hmm. But you know, just salt of the earth, coal mining folks, just great people in rural Southwest Virginia, right on the Virginia, near the Virginia-Tennessee border. And undergrad on the other side of the state at William & Mary, and then a brief stint in Washington, D.C., but all the while just had this nagging, this urging, maybe even the tugging of the Holy Spirit, something or other, was kind of leading me into entertainment. And so early on, I toyed with the idea of live stage, knowing that I would probably need to be in New York, but just felt strongly that film and television was where the Lord would have me be. So I often say loaded up my little red car and drove 3,000 miles until I hit water on the other side of the continent. And, and here we are 27 years later. But early on, I often say big roles in small movies and small roles in big movies. That's kind of what paid the bills for years and years. But did a lot of television, episodic television, sitcoms and episodics, pretty much everything you would know of in the late 90s, early 2000s, 90210, JAG, ER, things like that. Then in the early 2000s, went on the road doing stand-up, improv, and sketch comedy in a comedy ministry that I started. And I know that may sound oxymoronic, but I traveled around primarily to large platform church events and was the face of a lot of big music festivals and church conferences around the country.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And then about 10 years into that, although I still lived here in Los Angeles and was on the road a lot, way too much, probably, I think at its height, it was somewhere around 120 days a year I was gone. Wow. So if you do some back of the envelope math, that means one out of every 3 days I was not here. I was not with my wife. And at the time I came off the road, we had three kids under 5 years old. And needless to say, it was time. So came back, came off the road right around 2013 and kind of dived back into on camera work here in LA. And then one thing led to another, and I booked a handful of features, and I did a picture in 2016 called Believe that Sony Pictures did, and then that led to my production company, as you mentioned, Damascus Road Productions. Your audiences would understand, kind of glean the inference of what kind of movies we do and
exactly.
what that's about, but.
Yeah.
Damascus Road, my wife Heather and I started about seven years ago, I guess now. And we focus primarily on faith content and family content. And Paul's Promise is our next one to hit theaters.
Yeah, that's awesome. And some of the other films that you've been a part of with Damascus Road, just looking at the website, definitely our audience will recognize some of those. And that's a really cool thing that you've been able to make an impact and that people can actually recognize some of that. As a faith-based filmmaker in Hollywood, I know there is a need for it, there is a desire for it, but it is often very much underplayed whenever it comes to the Hollywood production scene. How has God worked to make this Damascus Road Productions a reality for you?
Well, you know, I'm the first to say that we are squarely standing on the shoulders of those that have come before us in this genre. You know, the Kendrick brothers, the Irwin brothers, what Pure Flix has done. Mm-hmm. You know, the so many great filmmakers that sort of blazed a trail, and you know, and we've led to this point. Hollywood certainly ends up taking notice when those movies do well, mm-hmm. when those movies make money, and so. You know, the fact that there have been some incredible breakout successes, you know, you could even look at The Passion of the Christ as sort of the impetus for this genre of filmmaking, albeit an R-rated movie, mm-hmm. still the most successful R-rated movie in the history of Hollywood. So, wow. I mean, it's no secret that Mel Gibson went to every studio in town and they all said no. And then, you know, cut to $600-700 million in the box office later. And everybody said, oops, we missed that one. Mm-hmm. So I think that, John, was sort of the beginning that it certainly ignited the spark that caused Hollywood. I'm using air quotes here, Hollywood, meaning the studio system and how mm-hmm. most of us understand filmmaking and you know, going to the movies. I think that was the beginning for a lot of us. And so, you know, there have been ebbs and flows in independent filmmaking, and, you know, all independent filmmakers, regardless of your genre, and this is a generalization, but you spend about a year raising money for a movie and then a year making that movie mm-hmm. and a year raising money from. And so you have this fallow season, you know, where you're trying desperately just to get a movie off the ground. And Heather and I often say it's nothing short of a miracle anytime a movie gets made, just because there are so many moving parts and so many elements yeah. and pieces to get that picture to the big screen. And so, you know, those films that came before us that were very successful in the box office, and now many of those filmmakers have deals at studios. And so I think that certainly has helped mm-hmm. when we come to market with a faith and family based project. Many of the studios are way more apt now than they were, you know, 20 years ago to say, oh, let us know more about this. How can we be a part of this? How can we help this? Motives are one thing. I can't speak to the motives for sure. But among other things, we have realized that the evangelical audience has discretionary income and they will turn up for a movie if you tell them how and where, what it's about.
That's good. And in this conversation, we are definitely going to tell them how and where to find Paul's Promise, which is the latest project you have to release, which actually comes out October 21st. And just right now, we're just going to actually say paulspromisemovie.com. So the things that we're talking about here, you can go check it out, the trailer, and you can learn more about the film. But, you know, Ryan, let's talk about this film. I mean, your production company, Damascus Road Productions, from that title, I'm thinking, okay, there's a connection with Paul, but it's a different Paul, but there's still a drastic right. life change here. Is that the stories that you like to tell the best?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, firstly, it is a little confusing in that my company, Damascus Road, is yes. doing a movie about somebody named Paul. So yep. just to clarify for your audience, my company name existed before this movie existed, and it is a Paul, but it's not the Apostle Paul. It's right. Paul Holderfield Sr., who is from Little Rock, Arkansas, and we'll get into the story. But yes, in answer to your question, you know, we really love to look at and tend to green light stories internally that have that element of yeah. change. They won't always have a conversion experience, certainly. Mm. I mean, at the very least, we look for an element of truth in the movie. And I'm talking about truth with a capital T. We want people to be able to ask questions out loud at the end of the film. And sometimes I say when the lights come on and they're sweeping up the popcorn and you're, you know, hopefully an audience is still sitting there, mouths agape, and at the very least saying, man, I never thought of it that way. Or there's something bigger than I am, you know? And so those are the nuggets that we want to drop into our movies. And then when you have a picture like Paul's Promise, where it's a true story, a real story, you know, these biopic elements, it makes it, in my opinion, makes it even better, because yeah. we can argue with someone's faith. You and I could jump on social media and write in all caps and exclamation points all day long, but we're most likely not going to change someone's mind nor convince someone mm-hmm. about our faith. But what you can't argue with is someone's true story. There's right. a real event and a real story that someone experienced. And that was the case of Paul Holderfield and this movie. He yeah. was a firefighter in North Little Rock, Arkansas. He grew up poor. He was the son of a sharecropper. When he was growing up, his childhood best friend was black, and you know, they were just the best of buddies, just, you know, thick as thieves, and hung out all the time. And then as they moved into their middle school and high school years, that sort of fell apart. You know, the people that Paul in particular was hanging out with were not good guys, and by his own admission was a bigot and a racist, and just really, you know, literally turned his back, literally and figuratively turned his back on his best friend. And in fact, it was a kind of a culmination moment in their relationship that centered around the Little Rock Nine incident in Little Rock. The protests when the nine black students were allowed to go to public schools there, and there were lots of protests. And Paul's childhood best friend, a man named Jimmy Lipkin, a black man, came up to him and stuck out his hand. He thought Paul was there in support of the nine, and Paul literally stuck his hands in his back pockets. And there's a photo of this. They recreated this photo, and it's pretty jarring, to say the least, where Paul wouldn't even speak to his best friend for fear of being, you know, outed by his colleagues and I'm using air quotes, friends, for talking to a black man. And you know, the history of our country and the culture of the time, and it was just it's terrifying, you know. And in some ways, we find ourselves as a country examining exactly how far have we come in race relations in this country. Where have we been? Where are we now? And Paul, you know, said to his wife later on that same day, said to Barbara, never again. I really want to examine my life, take a look at this. And then the name of the movie, Paul's Promise, which is based on a book called Brother Paul. Paul promised his mother on what was basically her deathbed that he would look into this Jesus thing, that he would examine this faith that she had talked about his entire life. And she was just a fervent prayer warrior for him and for her family. And she knew that God had big plans for Paul's life. And despite the fact that he was the last person you would think of that would ever become a pastor, he really, after he gave his life to Christ, really turned his life around, ended up starting a church, started a homeless shelter, started a food pantry and a mission and a ministry that still exists today in North Little Rock, Arkansas, and was among the first integrated churches in the American South. So really made a lasting impact on that community that still exists today.
Yeah, and the name of that church is the Friendly Chapel, and the ministry is the Feeding and Loving All Men Equally, or FLAME. And I just think I did a little bit of research about that Friendly Chapel, and now actually Paul Holderfield's son, Paul Holderfield Jr., is the pastor there. So obviously he made a disciple out of his own son, and now his son is carrying on that legacy. His son is still alive, and there's some family that are still alive, what has the response been from them seeing their father's story or his father's story on the screen?
Oh, they are so grateful, and they have been amazing from the very beginning. When we first got this story, we really obviously wanted to make sure that we had the family's blessing, and wanted to meet with them and talk to them and make sure that we got it right. So several of us went to Little Rock to meet with them and spent several days with them. And Paul Jr., as you mentioned, is the senior pastor of that church now, and Paul's brother and sister, Philip and Paula, are also in vocational ministry at the same church, and their whole extended family is still very involved in the ministry, and they've grown exponentially. In fact, the street the church is on, and the name of the road that runs directly in front of the church, I believe at one time was called Arkansas Avenue, was the name of the church. It runs parallel to the Mississippi River, just on the north side of Little Rock proper in the city of North Little Rock. And several years ago, every single business and homeowner on that street unanimously agreed, because that is the protocol, to change the name of the street to Brother Paul Boulevard.
Oh, wow.
So can you imagine having an address for, you know, decades, and then somebody wanting to change that and all that entails with changing your physical address, and every single person on that street decided to change the name to Brother Paul. So fascinating. But yes, their whole family is very much involved. They've been involved from the beginning. We invited them to the set. They came to both our set, although it's set in New Mexico. We actually shot the movie. Sorry, it's set in Arkansas. We shot the movie in New Mexico, mm-hmm. partly in New Mexico and partly in Los Angeles. But Paul's family visited both places and were here with us a lot of the time during the shooting and have been, you know, intimately and actively involved all through the process. And we're so excited to bring the premiere the night that the movie opens on October 21st. We're going to actually be having a premiere, Hollywood style red carpet premiere in Little Rock, and the family will be present. And I think pretty much their entire church is turning out as well. So
that's
it'll
really
be an
cool.
exciting day.
That is yeah. really, really cool. How did you guys come across this story? Because it seems to be something that would be kind of tucked away in a little bit of local history. Obviously, yeah. it has a little bit of a national story because of the Little Rock Nine, but at the same time, just one person's response to something that happened, you know, how did you come across this story?
Yeah, an executive producer and colleague of ours who actually lives in Bristol, Virginia, named Nick Logan, came across the book, I believe, and then the story about it. And reached out to another producer in North Carolina, Michael Davis at Uptone Pictures. And Michael and I had done some projects together before. And so he brought it to us here at Damascus Road. And so it was a real team effort amongst three production companies to, all right, what are our strengths? How can we together pull this off? And so it started with Nick coming, you know, finding the story. And then, you know, the miraculous way that God works. We had another project that was slated to go. This, by the way, we shot the film in the fall of October 2020. So we were still very much in the height of COVID and dealing with COVID protocol on set and just all things COVID with the Screen Actors Guild and you know, just everything that we were that was on top of all the insanity that goes along with shooting a movie. But we were sorting through all of that at the same time. But we had another project that was slated to film in New Mexico, and it fell out at the very last minute. We were weeks away from taking the entire production company to New Mexico and staying there for several months to shoot this movie. And then when Paul's Promise came along, it was the exact same budget, and we could just sort of slide that in place of the other one. So sometimes, you know, just another testimonial, I suppose, as to how God works in you know, we spent several hours. It came to us about 24 hours later in a weird, again, you know, no coincidences, I believe, but we spent a full day of going, how do we break this to our team, how do we tell our company, how are we going to figure this out? And then the movie, you know, sort of landed in our lap right around 24 hours later. But again, it's God doing what he does. And that's one of the reasons we shot in New Mexico, because the other film was supposed to shoot there. And so we slid it in place, and using, you know, VFX and Hollywood magic, we made rural New Mexico look like Little Rock, Arkansas.
That's pretty cool. So you got to actually play Paul in this film. What similarities do you find between your life and his as you were embracing this role?
Wow, that's a great question, and I haven't talked about this much, so your audience is one of the first to hear this for sure. But the story behind the story is the original plan was not for me to play Paul, you know, we were to produce. Heather, my wife, and I, and our company was to produce the film, and as I read the screenplay, John, and as Heather read it, it was so fascinating in that. Paul's story very much paralleled my own father's story and relationship with his mother. And just, you know, I had a grandmother who, not unlike Minnie Holderfield in the movie, just prayed for her son, you know, well into his adult years and prayed for that the Lord would really speak into his life, and that, you know, he would come to understand her faith and her relationship with Jesus and what that looked like. So as I read it, it was kind of fascinating how I saw my father's relationship with his own mother in this story. And Heather knew and saw the same thing as she read the story. And so we were like, man, this is an interesting dynamic between the father and between the, right, the son, right, rather, and mother in the story. And so without saying anything to any of the other producers, one of the executive producers came to Heather, of all things, and not to me, and said, "Hey, do you think Ryan would consider taking on this role?" And again, it's one of those God things that nobody planned or nobody saw coming, and was not part of the original plan. But they asked me to play Paul, and I thought that I thought it was a good idea and made sense. And so I really thought about it, prayed about it, and really, you know, walked through what that would look like and how that. Mm-hmm. You know, pros and cons of all of that, as well as being the, one of the lead producers on the movie, and how, you know, how that would shake out. But I did, and honestly, I can say that it's one of the highlights of my career. Mm-hmm. I mean, being able to portray someone who was a visionary servant of God is probably the best way of saying mm-hmm. it. Who, at a time when it was very unpopular to do so, you know, saw the injustices around him and bucked the social norms of the time, and among other things, said racism is not biblical, and we have to eradicate racism and discrimination in all forms. And church, with a capital C, church, it starts with us.
Right, right. It's a remarkable concept for me. You know, I'm 37 years old. I grew up in a world where, you know, integration already happened. You know, sure. I had African-American neighbors, and we went and visited them, and just to hear old stories from what their life was like. And so I didn't realize that racism was such a big deal. And so it's great to be able to point at these moments of history where there was a wrong that was at least started to be made right, and to be right. able to look at these people's lives that were really making a major impact, and how, number one, God changed their life, and then number two, what God used to do, or what God did in their lives to then cause cultural change. And that's really the church doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I love how you said that he was a visionary servant of God. And, you know, I just think that is a great description of how we need to be today, and how when God puts something on our heart, we need to have vision for what God says this needs to be, and then serve God's vision for that cultural change or things that are going on in the world today. And that's really, you're also a visionary servant of God, because you are taking the stories of somebody's life, making these films, and turning it into something that is going to inspire prayerfully millions and millions of people around the country and around the world to make positive change, whether it be their own life or something in the culture. And so I'm just grateful that we get to talk about this film, because I know it's going to make a big difference in people's lives. I know the first time I heard or actually saw it was a school play, or it was a you know, small Christian production company that did it was Little Rock. And they actually, you know, so that was one of the first times that I actually got to see a play. So this, I think, is a very, very appropriate story to be able to retell from Paul's perspective, and just the life change that he had. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, John. Yeah. That's a huge compliment, and to even be thought about in the same category as someone like Paul Holderfield is just an incredible compliment. And I think you're right. I think, you know, we think about occupation and vocation and career and calling and all of those things, and this odd career path, perhaps odd career path that I've chosen was nothing. My mom was a CPA, and my dad owned a convenience store, and they knew nothing from the entertainment industry. And despite that, were my biggest fans and cheerleaders, and encouraging me to be a storyteller in this way. And, you know, that's our goal. That's our goal. I have a mantra on my wall as you walk into my office, and I don't know who said it, it's credited anonymous, but and you probably heard it before, but it reminds me daily, and it says, "The theater is the church for the world at large." It's where people go to sit in the dark and contemplate life. Wow. And as I look at that every day, I realize that, you know, we have a job to do, you know, arguably within a 30-mile radius, that's why we call it the TMZ, the 30-mile zone, within a 30-mile radius of where I'm sitting right now, for better or worse, and more often than not for worse, so goes the world. Mm. You know, we have a media sort of starts right here, you know, right here where I am, and, yeah, and the world follows suit. And so in as much as we can be just even a spoke in the wheel or a tiny little cog to proliferate a message of truth and hope, in this case, the story of Paul Holderfield is definitely a message of hope in that, mm-hmm, there is power and hope on the other side of that. And I encourage anyone to take a look at this, read the words, take a look at it and see how this applies to your life. And when Paul did, it made all the difference.
Yeah. And Ryan, I just want to encourage people right now to go to paulspromisemovie.com, and there's links to see the trailer. There is links to your social media, which I clicked on, and I got to see that recently you guys have already won some awards for this film. Tell me about that, and what awards did you win, and what does this mean?
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, we're right in the height of awards season right now. You know, we just had the Emmys a few weeks ago for television, of course, and we're right in the faith world. A lot of, well, I guess in filmmaking in general, we just had the Toronto International Film Festival in Cannes, was, you know, just recently, and so it's awards season. So this movie, thankfully, has been recognized by some faith film festivals. There's a handful of film festivals around the country that recognize and honor Christian entertainment, and mm-hmm, we've been nominated for Best Picture a number of times and have won several times, including this weekend. And we actually took home, there's an awards ceremony here in Los Angeles called the Red Letter Awards most recently, and we took home Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, and the Holderfield family received a special award, which I accepted on their behalf, called the Kingdom Legacy Award, which, wow, is really what it sounds like. It was recognizing Paul Sr. and the Holderfield family and their legacy of ministry for decades, you know, mm, nearly 55 years at this point, that ministry. And then literally the very next day, Linda Pearl, who plays my mother in the movie, was just amazing. She won Best Actress at the Canadian International Family Film Festival. And then we won Best Picture at the Christian Worldview Film Festival. And then we won a Best Picture Award at the International Christian Film Festival in Orlando. And so it's just such a blessing. You know, we don't, sometimes certainly not what you're thinking of when you're in the midst of 12-hour shoot days, mm-hmm, and, you know, you're in the height of the craziness of shooting a movie, but it is so special for our production team and for our cast to be honored in this way on the other side of that and leading up to a theatrical release around the country. So, yeah, thanks for saying that. We're super, yeah, proud and very excited for this film to see theaters.
Well, congratulations on all those accolades, and we're believing for even more of those to be coming your way as people actually go to the box office. How do people find out where they can go see this film? I know it's opening on more than 200 theaters, but, right, you know, there should be a theater near you if you're listening to this in the United States, and hopefully there will be other ways to see that. But could you just tell us how we can follow this film and see it ourselves?
Absolutely. Yeah. The easiest way, as you mentioned, is to go to paulspromisemovie.com. All the information is there. There's a bunch of tabs and a bunch of links, of course. There's a theaters tab. You click on that tab and you can pop in your zip code and it'll tell you the closest theater where the movie is playing near you. By the way, that will continue to be populated right up to opening day. So they just keep adding theaters. And there's over 200 theaters where the movie will be showing. If you don't see a theater close to you on there, you can also click demand. It's exactly what it sounds like. You just pop in your name and your address and your information, and it will trigger the system to try to get the film in a theater close to you. And then after it comes and goes from the movie theater, stay tuned to that same site, mm-hmm, and we'll tell you exactly how to get it. There's an opportunity for you to see it at your local church through a network that we're utilizing at local church events. And then, of course, the home entertainment and streaming and DVDs will kick in about 45 days after the theatrical release. But all that information can be found at paulspromisemovie.com.
That's really cool. I like the idea of working this out with your church to be able to show the film at that location. Yeah. And so there's some cool outreach opportunities for anybody that's listening that is saying, I'd like to be a part of this, but I don't want to go to a theater. I'd rather people come here and we can do it. We, mm-hmm, can turn it into an event or something like that. You have that opportunity, and all the information is on the site paulspromisemovie.com.
And let me also mention, John, that very soon, if it's not up now, and I think it will be in the next week or so, if you happen to have the Bible app on your phone from YouVersion, mm-hmm. YouVersion Bible app, there is a Paul's Promise Bible study that parallels the theme of the movie. So in addition to all those other ways we just mentioned to interact with the movie and to see it, there's a Bible study that will go along with it as well. So check that out.
Well, that is cool. That is cool. Well, Ryan, we've already seen that God has his hand on this film from how it's come about with just the change of things. And just within 24 hours, God brought this film and you're able to make the changes even during COVID to make sure that, you guys, a production company, were still able to move forward. And then just the fact that the story came and now you've received awards and this is coming out to the theaters October 21st. And it seems like God's favor is already on this. And so we can continue to pray for God's favor on this. But how can our audience be praying for this film and for you?
Oh, well, yeah, thank you. And that's probably the most important thing. But just exactly that, our goal as filmmakers and as storytellers is the message of the movie. We really want people to see the film and realize what I talked about before, that there is hope on the other side of that. We're praying moms. There's a whole group of praying moms, this kind of subculture of praying parents, and specifically praying moms, who have kind of supported and undergirded this film from the very beginning, and just a real movement afoot to pray for our children. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 22 is very specific as well, and we train up the next generation, and so they've been very supportive about that. So I would encourage just jumping in, hopping on that website as well, and as you pray for our film, pray that the message and the ministry that Paul Holderfield started all those years ago would continue today. And it's not about Paul Holderfield. He, if he were here, would certainly tell you the exact same thing. It has nothing to do with him. It is purely and genuinely the power and the reality of the living God that changes people's lives. And I encourage everyone to seek that and to find that. That's what the Lord wants for us.
Amen. I can't think of a better way to wrap up a podcast interview than what you just said there. So Ryan O'Quinn, the lead actor and producer of the Paul's Promise film, it's been a great pleasure to have you here. paulspromisemovie.com to go check that out. Ryan, it's been great to have you here on the Charisma News podcast.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News podcast. God bless you.